This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We will start with the Jets and Darren Mooji not giving much on the Aaron Rodgers decision and situation.
I just want to address the Aaron Rodgers stuff, get ahead of that. I'm not going to discuss any private discussions that I had with Aaron throughout this process.
And he continued on.
I'm not here to confirm or deny any rumors that happened during that process. I will say this. There was never an ultimatum or rules of engagement for Aaron to potentially join the Jets again. That never happened.
And I guess that was about the OTAs and the mini camps and all that stuff that he's referencing.
Like, you're not here. We're hired. You got to go. See ya.
Here was Aaron Glenn. He was asked about, remember you had players, I forget who it was specifically.
Quinnen Williams.
With the thumbs down.
Yep.
But also there have been reports that, you know, a lot of players weren't thrilled that they don't have him coming back. Aaron Glenn was asked about that, his take.
I understand the reaction of the players. But I will say this. Every decision that me and Mooch make is to win and to win now. So I understand it. But again, listen, this is not going to be the last decision I make. Right, that's going to upset some people. And that's okay, right? But as men, we talk about it. We make sure we keep it in house that we're going to continue to do.
And then this next one, I believe the question was, are you confident you'll find a better quarterback than Rodgers for 2025?
We're confident we're trying to win games. So that may be, it is what it is. So, and that's it. And the thing is, I don't want to disrespect any other players we have on our team. And it kind of pisses me off and some of the other players that's what we all talk about. You have Quinnen Williams, you have Quincy Williams, you have AVT. Now you have Joe Tippmann. All those guys need to be respected as far as winning games also.
Yeah, you lost me on that one. I don't see the correlation in that at all. I don't see why a reporter asking a question about the quarterback position would be disrespecting the other good players on the team. Makes no sense to me, but okay.
It feels like he's trying to set up an us against the world kind of scenario. That's what it sounds like, which is fine.
It'll be great when you go 3-14.
Well, let's hope that's not the case.
He also seems like, because I watched it, he talked for about 12 minutes. Towards the end, he's smiling and laughing, but it seems like he goes into these like angry, like expecting to get peppered with questions he doesn't want to answer. And then he kind of, you know, relaxes and laughs a little bit.
He knows what he's stepping into, believe me. He knows it better than we know it. I mean, we sit from the outside. He knows what he's inheriting. He knows where this team has been. You think he's not aware of any of that? He's buddies with Mike Tannenbaum, Bill Parcells, Sean Payton, Dan Campbell. They all know what's going on. And when Dan Campbell inherited Detroit,
right,
it's kind of like the same thing.
I mean, listen, I'm aware of Mount Everest. I'm not going to go climb it. You know, and I think you could be aware of things.
I'll tell you what.
Be aware of things. And then when you're there, you're like, holy crap.
What you do is you give him a lot of credit for wanting to climb Mount Everest and wanting the job.
Well, it was the only one he was offered.
That's the way I look at it. He wanted the job.
He did. Yeah, it was the only one he was offered, though.
But he wanted the job.
Okay. I know. But it's not like he was turning other people down to take the Jets job.
He wanted the job. He got the job.
He did.
Why don't we give him a chance to see what he can do with the job?
We are, because he's the head coach.
We have no choice.
Got no choice but to watch this thing.
Here's Giants GM Joe Shane. If things don't improve, he'll be out of a job. You guys have the number three pick in the draft in April. What are you doing?
We're open to everything. Move up, move back. Again, it's an exciting time for a year. You know, we're starting to put that together now, put the puzzle together. So, we're going to look at all options to, improve the roster going into 2025.
And obviously, that puzzle's missing a lot of pieces.
And sitting at three, he was asked about Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward.
We've done a lot of work on those two. I know a lot of people are talking about those two, but there's other quarterbacks, throughout the draft, and excited to get around those guys as well.
I was telling Al, I saw one of these mock drafts yesterday.
Oh, yeah, mock draft.
That didn't even have Sanders in the top 10.
Yeah, well.
Interesting, yeah.
That Capra.
That's Capra.
Yeah. And then here was one more from Shane. Well aware things have to improve.
We've got to be better. We're a three-win team. So where we are financially, from a salary cap health standpoint, we're in good shape. We have premium draft capital, so not suffocating. We have the resources to improve the roster.
Now they have to go out and actually
premium
do
draft capital. Oh, yeah. That's a GM phrase for you.
Sure is.
Chew on that.
Yeah, well, it's combine time. This is what they do. This is where they get out there and they start talking, and this is the kind of language they use.
Premium draft capital.
What do you expect them to say?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to have some fun with it because it's boring as crap.
I know it is, but I'm just, I don't know what, I mean, that's GM speak, 100%.
Yeah. All right, in Cincinnati, you got Bengals Director of Player Development, Duke Tobin, with the media yesterday at the Combine. This was on the Jamar Chase contract. We've talked a lot about Chase and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, so this is on the Chase contract situation.
Jamar is always going to be our priority. He's a fantastic football player. He's going to end up being the number one paid non-quarterback in the league. We're there. Let's get it done.
So it sounds like they're close. We shall see. Here he was on Sirius NFL Radio. What about T. Higgins?
I want him on the team. He's a good player. He fits us.
Right.
We fit him. It's not a one-way street with any of these players.
It really sounds like they're going to try and get these two things done.
Good luck. I mean, so if they tag T. Higgins, that means he'll be like at $26 million this year. And unfortunately for him, they keep him out of free agency once again, which is a screw job because this kid would get a long-term, big-time contract if he got to free agency. Meanwhile, his teammate...
Get it out of the game then.
And by the way,
I'm so tired.
Yeah, but just so you understand,
I do understand.
His teammate's going to make $40 million a year, and T's been there, I think, a year longer, and he's been tagged, and he was a second round draft choice.
My heart bleeds for him. Then get it out of the game. The players agreed to this, did they not? Was it not collectively bargained?
Yeah, yes, it is. And there's always going to be players who are going to be screwed.
Correct.
So, my point is, if the NFL, and by the way, if an NFL team wants to move, they can move. And they have moved, and they've gotten political will behind them to use tax dollars to build stadiums. But when a player wants to move, they restrict the player. And, it doesn't happen very often, but, the players do not want to be tagged. They want to get the free agency. And my argument for the NFLPA would be you want to go to 18 games, you want to go to international divisions and all of this growth that you are hoping for, then guess what? We want unfettered free agency after like 3 years.
Yeah,
the players have got to get something in return for that that's going to be significant for them to agree to it.
Yeah, and it's impossible to try to put this into real-world terms because I think a lot of people say, you get $26 million for 1 year, which is true. All of that is true, but it's not apples to apples.
Well, the problem with him, he could blow a knee out or blow a shoulder out or break a neck, and then he's done.
Right. Then get it out of the game.
They should. I mean,
I'm all for getting it out of the game, but, it's unfortunate guys like this have to go through it.
Chiefs head coach Andy Reid and GM Brett Veach did speak. This was Reid on Travis Kelce. So what is his future?
At this point, you get out of town and relax. That's kind of my motto for these guys. They played a lot of games and a lot of, for a consistent amount of seasons here. And so you get to the end of the thing, you've exhausted yourself mentally and physically. Step back and take care of that, then we'll talk.
And then Veach was on NFL Network. So is he playing or not?
I think so. I mean, there's been a lot of the timeline and deadlines, and that's something that we as
blah blah blah.
Now, did Veach say he was really sick during the Super Bowl?
What I was getting to. So the next question was, what version of Kelce though will you get if he comes back?
We're never going to make excuses and talk about it, but yeah. I mean, he was battling with pretty big illness there for the Super Bowl. But listen, the way the Eagles played, it wouldn't have made a difference.
But
I'll tell you what, watching him on tape, and I showed Gio the tape yesterday, there was something wrong with him. I thought it was maybe a shoulder injury or something. But it gives me a better understanding of what he was dealing with if he was as sick as Brett Beach is saying that he was.
Maybe he had the flu. Like, it's run through everybody this winter. Who knows?
It was going through I thought it was going through the Eagles.
That's what they said.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Mets haters are out again. They love when they see bad Mets news now that Juan Soto has moved from the Yankees to the Mets. The Yankee fan is just laughing at the Mets. Oh, looks like you got another injury in your rotation. Ooh, I guess David Stearns maybe has to go out there and actually pay a pitcher now because Sean Manaea, probably, most likely, starting the season on the IL with an oblique strain. You add that to the Frankie Montas news, and it's a little bit of a rough start news-wise for a Mets rotation. But, hey, thank God the baseball season is 2 years long, and you don't have to worry about these things that you're worried about in February. Generally, you don't have to worry about them when it's an oblique strain, when there's no structural damage in there. All right, maybe he's back in middle April, May, worst-case scenario. It's a long season. The Mets are going to be fine. You don't have to worry about it. So haters, back up. Worry about your own Giancarlo Stanton mess, because I don't even know what the hell's going on with him. Comes back to New York. He's got two elbows, and they say it's a personal thing. Who knows? goes. We got that. Plenty more. I know you're jacked up for your Islanders-Rangers matchup tonight as well. We were talking about that before the show. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Good morning.
Oh, the microphone. Hello.
Good morning, Jay. The regular season doesn't start until March 27th.
That's right.
I mean, we're a month away from it. That's so right. I'm sure there are going to be more injuries, and there are going to be more struggles. There will be a little bit more adversity. David Stearns will figure it out. The Mets will figure it out. And away we go. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. This is going to – it happens every year. They carry like 30 pitchers into spring training for a reason. This is why – you know, the other thing, too, is I wonder what these guys do in the offseason. I mean, that really makes me wonder what they do in the offseason, how they work out. And I'm sure there are a number of guys that either go play winter ball or, you know, really do work out quite a bit, and they work on their hitting, they work on their, maybe they work on some of their fielding. And for pitchers, I would think, you know, maybe you shut it down for about a month, and then you go through a throwing program so you can ramp up for spring training. And, you know, this is not an injury in terms of the elbow. This is an oblique injury. So that could happen to any one of these players. And normally I would say, depending on how severe it is, if it's a minor oblique injury, then you're probably looking at about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they said there's no rib cage situation in there. Carlos Mendoza basically said that it's just it's all muscular. So even though he's not going to start the season on the active roster, he'll be on the IL. It's just they want to take time with him and ramp him up. I think it's just because it's starting so early in spring training, he's not going to be able to throw, and then he's got to get himself back in shape and ready to pitch. But you know, we will most likely. I mean, I'll knock on wood here, but most likely. Come, I don't know, Memorial Day weekend, we're not going to be thinking about this at all. And certainly not going to be thinking about it in October. He should be healthy. He should come back. He should have a really good year. I'm glad that they brought him back. I guess you'd be a little bit concerned. He threw the most innings in his career last year. Now he's coming back here, but he's going to be all right. But I mean, the reason why I think that the Yankee fan who's back with that like pure Mets hatred right now after the Soto thing, I think the reason why they like this is because David Stearns doesn't put a lot of emphasis on the rotation. And the Yankees do have a better rotation on paper than the Mets do. So when you see now two injuries like this, you know, they could poke at the weak spot. Like, oh, you little boy genius, man, he's trying this again, huh? Not really working. You know, the Yankee fans are doing the Boomer, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? Here you go. Montas is hurt. Okay. Mathias is hurt.
Well, maybe they were right in some respect, but we're right also because Giancarlo Stanton's hurt again.
Yeah, weird.
I mean, like, and I don't want to make fun of anybody, especially somebody that's been dealing with something like tennis elbow in both elbows, which is strange, especially the way he is built. And, you know, whatever his personal issues are there, he's got to take care of them. And they're going to allow him to do that, which is the correct thing to do, depending on how significant it is. Hopefully it's nothing too serious and that it, you know, requires his attention for a couple of days, and hopefully he'll get back. But I, you know, again, it's a month until the season starts, and to get wrapped up into any of this stuff, in like if you told me Juan Soto, you know, broke an ankle or something and was going to miss, you know, 3 months of the season, then I'd say, yeah, I'm worried. But that's not the case. And you know what I would say? The same thing with Giancarlo Stanton. I would think that, you know, he will, I don't know, maybe he'll miss the first, I guess, couple weeks of the season, I think. But they're expecting him to fight through this just like he had to fight through it last year.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange, though, the news with that yesterday, because at first it was he's going to go back and see Dr. Ahmad, who is a Yankees doctor and surgeon, who is, you know, well-renowned and respected, of course. And then Aaron Boone came out and said that he's going back to New York because of personal reasons.
Well, maybe he could be doing both.
Yeah, it could be a little double dip.
I would think if you want to go see the doctor, this is the doctor go see, get some imaging on it and get a little bit clearer answer as to what maybe he's dealing with. If it's something more than just tennis elbow. And then number two, he could also take care of his personal business, whatever that may be.
Yeah, now this is something, I know you love these numbers and stuff.
Yeah, bring me the numbers. I want to hear the numbers.
I know you love these numbers.
Yes.
You know, so you get a lot of, on both sides, Met and Yankee fans are like, Yankee fans say, go out and get a third baseman. Who cares about the money? You know, you got to fill that hole. Now maybe the Mets fan's going to say, pull the trigger on a trade for a starting pitcher. You got two injuries there. You got to add to the staff.
Don't the Mets fans want Dylan Cease?
Yeah. I mean, that's a guy from
San Diego.
San Diego, yes. That you'd have to trade for, yes. So this
people say no salary cap in baseball, which is technically true. But this competitive balance tax is essentially...
the Cohen tax.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure.
It should be the Dodgers tax.
Yeah, it really should be at this point. But the Mets payroll right now.
Okay.
$315 million. Right?
God bless our owner.
So the competitive balance tax this year, $241 million.
Yeah, so look at how much money they're spending.
Right, so the penalties now, though, you go $60 million or more over. And is this $60 million or more? It's $241 million, yeah, $315 million, yeah, $60 million or more.
Yeah.
There's a 60% surcharge.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see another level of that on this. This is from MLB.com. All right, I don't see another level past that. So that says to me, unless I'm missing something, and this is the official Major League Baseball website, that if they add to the payroll, it's just, it's really not, you're not going to get another level of charge.
No, but you're still going to get charged.
You're still getting charged.
Yeah, on the overall number, yeah, that you're over.
But it
so
goes
you're
from.
You're still increasing that.
You're increasing that, but here's the thing, you're
I
not.
I think like teams like the Pirates and Tampa Bay Rays are very happy about that.
Yes.
Keep spending.
But what I'm, the point is that 20 to 40 million over, 12% surcharge, 40 to 60 million, 42.5%, 60 million or more, 60%. So it's not going up another level. You're just getting charged at 60% on a higher number if you bring in somebody else, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So, but here, let me just see if I can look at this on Spot Track.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Dodgers right now, their tax payroll, their current tax payroll right now, what the Dodgers are going to have to spend is $392,535,656. Almost $400 million.
Hey, Boomer, did you know that they've got a consortium worth $40 billion?
Yeah, I know. The New York Mets are second on this list with 25 players. The Dodgers have 27 players. The Mets have 25 players. Their tax payroll is $321,456,449. And then the next one would be the Phillies at $298.
And where are the Yankees?
The Yankees are fourth. They have it a tax payroll current right now, $293,886,666.
All right, so the math here, let me just see. They haven't gone over $60 million then, right? Because it's $241 million. Yeah, they haven't gone over that.
Right, and right now the cap space for the Dodgers is minus $151 million. For the New York Mets, minus $80 million. For the Phillies, minus $57 million, meaning this is what it would take to get to like $60 million, right?
Yeah, so the,
and
Yankees,
the Yankees are minus $52
million. So the Yankees don't want to get to that next threshold, and that's why they were talking about trading Marcus Stroman being a thing they had to do.
He's making $18.5 million.
Yeah, prior to bringing in a third baseman. But for the Mets, they're already past the highest surcharge. It's just a matter of how much more they would add.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, they could. Both teams could add if they wanted to. I mean, it's not like there's anything stopping them other than money.
We get to the spring baseball. So, as only you can script it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't count. It's a spring game, and I get it. But I take you to Saturday with Howie Rose on Mets Odyssey Radio.
And now the 2-1 to Soto, hit in the air to deep center field. Back goes Leon onto the track. It is gone! Juan Soto in his first plate appearance as a New York Met, albeit in spring training, hits one over the wall in left center field.
Yeah, how about that?
Juan Soto!
Do you think Iglesias is coming back?
Well, with Nick Madrigal, he's got a separated shoulder or dislocated shoulder. So I don't know if that opens the door. I don't know.
All right, so am I the only one who thought this after he hit the home run? It can only get worse from here.
I did not think that.
Oh, I didn't want to think that. I was like, oh, okay.
I mean, he's going to hit some home runs. He's going to be good offensively.
I mean, come on. His first at bat, he hits a home run. I'm like, all right. That's great. Well, it is spring training.
He says it's a good sign for him doing what he did.
They got Soto. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. You can't do. If Iglesias is not on the team, you can't do it.
Again. Somewhat cheese whiz wise.
But that's not the team doing it. That's the fans doing it.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
You know, the fans are always going to have, there's going to be cheesy fans. When the organization, if the organization was handing out Soto OMG things, we'd have a problem with that because Iglesias, they don't even want on the team.
Well, they want him on the team.
Do they? He'd be on the team if they wanted him on the team.
They just don't want to give him a 2-year deal. They want to give him a 1-year deal. Come on.
I guess. Here was Gary, Keith, and Ron on SNY over the weekend as they were showing pickleball in Florida. Very big activity down there. It was a man who was pretty fit and then a woman who was pretty fit as well.
Pickleball.
Need we say anything more?
It's a
Keith, right, quiet.
What are they doing? I'm distracted.
Yeah.
Probably breasts.
Yeah. That's what everybody assumed he was talking about, which I think he probably was. But yeah.
Assume. People blew it up and kept reposting it.
Yeah. I mean
her,
of course.
Yeah.
I mean, generally, the pickleball down in Florida is with very old people, you know, that end up going to the orthopedic surgeons afterwards. These two were, you know, models.
I got to tell you, though, watching the game, there was a great advertisement behind home plate where it said, "Come live where the Mets train." I scanned the little QR code.
Did you?
I did.
Moving to Port St. Lucie, huh?
No, but you know what? It sounded like a great idea at the time.
I think Port St. Lucie has done a really good job of building itself up in the last number of years.
You happened to be, we were there last year. It's beautiful.
When I went there, like years ago, when I was like 18, there was nothing there. There was like one restaurant.
There was a strip mall.
And it was like Jensen's Ale House. And like Ed Coleman would go there every night. Yeah. And that was it. But now it's a,
you know what they have there?
On.
They have the Tiger Woods putting green miniature golf course.
Oh, wow.
Where there are real gigantic greens. And it's actually pretty cool. It's I don't want to call it like Top Golf, but they've got the bar and everything, and it's pretty neat, actually.
You retiring in Florida, though, is too much on brand for you. You're going to go somewhere like in Alaska, Oregon, or somewhere like that.
I could see North Carolina.
No, I could see South Carolina.
Yeah, Texas.
You want to go to Texas? I do like Texas a lot. And Arizona, I like a great deal. I would love to go to Arizona and then just come back here in the summer to see family. I think that would be kind of cool. But no, Florida, I think, is kind of out. It's too much rain.
Hurricanes.
A lot of rain in Florida. And they want hurricanes, too. They also showed, so you had the pickleball and the woman in the bikini. Then they showed a nice guy who wasn't bothering anybody, just out there in the ocean paddleboarding. And Keith had a observation.
It's good for the abdominals there. That's a good exercise for the tummy. It looks like he can use it.
That wasn't necessary.
Man, these guys were on fire already.
It's great.
Two games in, man, and they're just firing howitzers.
Yes, exactly.
I think next year is going to be, 20 years of them on SNY. Because it was 2006, I think, SNY started.
Oof.
Can you believe that?
No.
Wow.
No, I cannot. That sounds like too much time has passed too quickly. Yeah. And then since you guys brought it up and we've got the bearded helmet in here.
Yeah.
This was Hal Steinbrenner on Friday.
Oh, God.
Asked how he thinks his dad would react to the change in this facial hair policy.
If something like this would detract from that, lessen our chances, I don't know. I think he might be a little more apt to do the change that I did than people think. Because it was about winning.
She was like, "Listen, man, he's dead. What does it matter? He's been dead for a long time."
I don't think anybody said.
Yeah, but you know how it is. Everybody's like, "What would George do?"
I understand.
And
how
that's
it is.
The question that always surrounds the Yankees,
and always will until they win more. That is
what
true.
What does George do?
What does George do? Rangers played lousy on Saturday. Sunday, a different story.
Shot by Fox. He scores. Adam Fox gives the Rangers a 4-3 lead with 8.5 remaining.
And that was after Jimmy Vesey had tied the game in the third period. Rangers outscored Pittsburgh 3-2 in the third.
Yes. I sent Kenny Albert a text during this game.
Of course you did.
And I said, "Kenny, this game sucks." And because the Rangers didn't have a shot on goal in the second period. They were like outshot like 16-0
at
one
crazy.
Point.
Which is crazy.
And he goes, Kenny's a professional. So for him, it's still a game. And he goes, "But it's not the Four Nations." Because you could feel like this, the intensity is just not there yet. It will get there. But Thank God they won the game, though. Jesus.
5-3 was the final score. The Devils did shut out the Predators 5-0, and the Stars edged the Islanders 4-3. Jason Robertson, the hat trick, all three goals coming in the second period. The Capitals beat the Oilers 7-3, notable because of one Alex Ovechkin.
2:40 to go in the third period, and a puck that comes to Ovechkin. He scores! He did it! He did it! It's a hat trick for Ovechkin!
And that was Capitals Radio with the call. 882 career goals now for Ovechkin. Wayne Gretzky sitting at 894. And so the ageless Ovechkin continues to do what he's done. The Capitals,
I'll tell you when he'll break the record.
Well, when they play the Rangers?
Yeah.
I figured you were going to say that, yes.
Definitely. Let's see when they play the Rangers next. If they do, I think.
Well, I mean, he's got 12 goals to go.
He's got 12 goals to go.
I believe he's on pace. Yeah.
So they play him 5 games from now.
Okay.
Down in Washington in March.
It's not going to be then.
you wouldn't think so.
You watch out.
You would not think so. And I think he's on pace. He's 20 games played less than Gretzky at this point.
Yeah.
And 12 goals behind. So
that's
very
the
much
last
on
time
par
they play
the
Washington, by the way.
Oh, there you go. So likely will not be against the Rangers. And the Rams have given Matthew Stafford's agent permission to speak to other teams about his market value.
Heard your sports minute there talking about the NFLPA grades, which has become a thing the last couple of years. They have put this out there in detail, and they do it during a time of year where it's going to be talked about because there's not as much going on, and there's some teams that do really well. So this just isn't just a hammer time on organizations. There are players on teams that really like their organizations, but you always talk about it. The Bermuda Triangle of the NFL in which you played. Cincinnati Bengals, New York Jets, Arizona Cardinals. And these three teams, once again, in 2025, did not fare well amongst the current players in this poll.
Now, I did not play for this ownership here. I played for Leon Hess, who was a very nice man, and I really did respect him and liked him. And he taught my dad. He took care of my dad, let's put it that way. He treated him great because they were both World War II veterans, and I had nothing but a good time and appreciated the ownership here, especially after I left Cincinnati. You know, it was interesting. I sent this thing out to a couple of ex-teammates of mine for the Bengals. The Bengals had one of the worst practice facilities ever known to mankind. I mean, it was in the lower, I want to say, west side of Cincinnati. It was called Spinney Field. Right to the north of us was the city treatment plant, the poop plant.
Oh, yeah.
Right across the street from us was a galvanizing plant. You know, those old orange metal barrels that they used to use in traffic. Now they use plastic ones.
Sure.
They would galvanize that. And then right down the road was a mattress manufacturing plant. Behind us was a thing called the Mill Creek. And the Mill Creek emptied out into the Ohio River. And that thing was polluted back in the day. And I remember we used to go out in the practice field and you can taste the metal in the air and you could smell the poop coming down if you had a northerly wind. And I remember we all would look at Kenny Anderson and say, you know, as long as he lives, that's how long we're going to live. Because he was there the longest.
Yeah.
And Kenny's still living to this day. So it's a very good thing. But anybody who ever played back in the 80s for the Bengals or even the Dolphins had a horrendous facility down there. Because I remember when we went down there for the Super Bowl, we used their facility for... Mm-hmm. Now, the Dolphins had the great weather.
And, yeah, players would want to go right there because of that.
We were in it. When I first got to Cincinnati, and I told Peter King this because he was the guy that picked us up at the airport, I got to Spinney Field. I said, is this a dog kennel? I mean, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was a dog kennel, like, you know, like where they would bring, you know, like, you know, all the dogs that nobody wanted. And our lockers were chain-link fences. And I've often told you about the Great Chicken Massacre in Cincinnati,
yes,
where the players had to go out and go get lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd always, a rookie would always have to go get the Popeye's chicken for the team.
Yeah.
And that was a mess. And he got into an accident, got hit by a drunk driver like at 11 o'clock in the morning coming from one of these overnight factories that we were practicing around. So, like, I don't really feel sorry for a lot of these players, especially when I go to that jet facility over there.
Well, they don't know what it was like, you
they
know?
They have no
the
idea. And plus, no clue. And plus, you know, they're averaging about, you know, I would imagine the average player is making a minimum $10 million in his career.
Mm.
Minimum. I think Phil Simms made less than $7 million in his career, maybe even less than that. I mean, just to give you a perspective.
Yeah.
And, But all I know is that when I got traded to the Jets, Hofstra was like Shangri-La. I mean, I felt like I died and went to heaven. That's how nice Hofstra was compared to what the Bengals had. And then, you know, when I went out to Arizona, that was even better because that was brand new and it was beautiful weather.
So basically, that helped. You look at this stuff and say,
I don't laugh at it.
You don't know what an F is.
You have no idea.
You don't know what a D minus is.
And you could ask any one of my teammates, man. But I'll tell you what, it was our place. It was a very special, weird place, but it was our place. You know, and I see the strength coaches, you know, we used to lift anvils. And we had Nautilus when I got there. And the weight room was about as big as this studio is here.
And CBS Sports Network has the Jets report card up there. Of course, the biggest one that pops off the page is ownership, F, Woody Johnson. And then the term culture of fear was used by some players, which, I mean, is that fear of being cut? Is that fear of being yelled at? I mean, I'm not sure exactly what that is. Maybe probably just with the firings of Saleh and Douglas during the season, it was like, hey, you could be next. You could be the one out of here. And also the treatment of the families. They got a C-, which is going to piss some people off, too.
No, Bob Kraft did not fare well. The New England Patriots did not fare well, but the New England Patriots have won Super Bowls. The Atlanta Falcons, on the other end, fared well in every aspect of their organization, and yet they have won nothing.
Yeah.
So I think it really has to do with each individual player and their own experience dealing with whatever they're dealing with at the time, especially when the survey gets in front of them.
Yeah.
So if the team
does it get in front of them, do you know?
I'm sure it gets in front of them towards the end of the season.
Okay.
Like I would say, you know, so if your team is having a bad year, you're having a bad year, you're not happy, the media is all over you. And you remember the reports about, you know, Brick Johnson running the team and the Madden thing and all of that crap that was going on here and the Aaron Rodgers fiasco. And
I think the players liked Rob Saleh and they liked Joe Douglas. And I think when those guys got fired,
right, exactly. So now you could see why and this is also maybe one of the reasons why Woody Johnson said at the press conference introducing both Aaron Glenn and Darren Bucci that he wanted to be a better owner.
Mm.
I don't know what exactly that means. I don't know how he sees himself. But again, like I told you yesterday, at the moment that Brick Johnson started getting into the media and Aaron Rodgers making a joke about it, see ya, goodbye, everybody's gone. And then Woody basically said that, that he wasn't involved in whether or not Aaron was going to be coming back and all that other stuff publicly. I think that was a fib.
Mm. Yeah, so the Jets 29th overall out of 32 teams, the Giants 20th out of 32 teams, although Brian Daboll got a really good rating, a B+ for a team and a coach that has not won a lot the last couple of years. So,
they had a C- on their locker room.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what do these guys want? I mean, they don't want the Four Seasons. They already have the Four Seasons. I mean, I go over to that Jet facility. I mean, Woody Johnson spared no expense at that facility.
Yeah, but are they talking about the locker room at MetLife? Or are they talking about the locker room?
I mean, look at that Jet facility. Is that remarkable?
Oh, yeah. We go there every year and we comment on how nice it is.
The fields are ridiculous. The strength and training is ridiculous. They have the food preparation group over there. I mean, the chef, the food and everything. It's top notch. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you can get it any better. I guess maybe Minnesota has it better. Atlanta has it better.
Yeah, and the Jets locker room, they said D+ training room. See, I'm sure that probably has
something.
The training room has got to be Florham Park. That's got to be Florham Park.
100%. They're talking about the facilities where the Jets are every day. They're only at the stadium once.
Yeah.
I mean, what was interesting, they didn't rank the stadiums.
They did not. But
I don't know why that's not in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that MetLife Stadium would not be close to the top if we were ranking things from best to worst.
Right, and you'd probably get both teams because two teams play in there. So both would probably give it negative vibes. And maybe I don't know what their locker rooms are in that building. I'm assuming they're okay. So lo and behold, with the Lakers playing the Mavericks the other night, obviously all the questions come again. Why did the Mavericks do this?
Mm-hmm.
You remember what I'm just going to go back to what I said to you when they first did this. And a lot of it had to do with a $345 million Supermax extension for a guy that they didn't like the way he was living his life off the court, nor did they like the way that he was playing on the court, as they felt like he was lazy. And then, of course, last night comes the report, or this morning comes the report, that they didn't like his drinking and they didn't like his like of the hookah.
Yeah, hookah, is that's not like weed hookah. It's like hookah, right?
That's what I'm assuming. But
I used to go to a hookah bar in Astoria.
Did you really?
Occasionally, yeah. So it was where I lived in Astoria when the radio station was there. And we'll get back to Luke in a second, but I do have a personal hookah experience. So I lived on Steinway and 28th, and it was right on the cusp there of Little Egypt. And they had a hookah bar basically right downstairs from the apartment. So I was like, people were in there all the time, and it looked like they were having a blast. And they'd sit there, and they'd sip on coffees, and they'd smoke this hookah, and there were all these flavors. So I'm in my 20s at the time, and it's not weed, it's not illegal, you're allowed to smoke it. So you go into the hookah bar, you'd ask for like your coffee or whatever it was, your drink, and then they'd give you like a menu of the flavors. And I remember mango was delicious. I go down there, it's this big giant thing, they'd burn the mango hookah brick. You gotta be sitting there with the long tube with all these other Egyptians being there. I'd bring some friends in there. Hey, let's go.
Juicy mango. You're looking at he now.
That brings his full circle.
Yeah, I don't believe he's Egyptian, but I know what you
Whatever,
mean.
Whatever, like but to, it brings like the full
to,
circle now.
I like to dabble in different cultures from time to time, you know, and see what's going on.
And mango, and obviously.
Yeah, juicy mango. You're looking very nice. Tingling. Yeah, so, the mango there was delicious. So, yeah, I'm assuming that's the hookah that he was smoking.
Well, who knows what else? He could have been smoking something else. You know how prevalent weed is in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
But again, I go back to this report, and it basically speaks to they had to make a decision. Nico Harrison had to make a decision. And the other thing, too, that I didn't realize about Nico, I guess he was around Kobe Bryant a lot because of his days at Nike. And he saw what they wrote in this article today, and it makes total sense to me now, the Mamba mentality, the mentality that Michael Jordan had. And then I think I saw Mike Wilbon the other day talking about the NBA All-Star game and the reason it is the way it is. And I think it was Mike, but they said back in the day when Michael Jordan was running the league, he made it competitive. And I'm sure they were probably gambling debts on the side with that group of guys.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Kobe made it competitive because he took it from Michael. And now, like, the question is LeBron supposed to make it this way, or is somebody else supposed to make it competitive? And it's just not competitive. It's turned into an abject failure for whatever reason. So this article basically tells me all I need to know as to why the Mavericks moved on from Luka Doncic.
Yeah, and I at the time when we went back and forth on this, I said I can understand that. If they were a lot of things that they didn't like from him and thinking this is our franchise player and he's going to get a Supermax deal and we don't think we can win a championship with him, even though he took the team to the NBA Finals the previous year and maybe they didn't see enough improvement, you know, we want to go in a different direction is a perfectly fine thing to do. I'm not there. We're not there seeing all of this stuff. The issue I had was the fact that it didn't seem like he talked to one general manager and one organization. And that organization always gets the good player somehow, some way. And that was annoying. And I felt like if he had opened this up a little bit more. And it doesn't mean like it has to be like broadcast to the world. If you're able to keep it under wraps when you're talking to Rob Pelinka of the Lakers, if you brought in a couple other teams or generated some sort of interest, then maybe you could have gotten something else back.
I think
Anthony Davis, who was older and injury prone, he goes there and he gets hurt. So that was the bigger issue.
Right. So if you're Nico Harrison and this thing gets out and it becomes a thing, then all of a sudden you got internal problems that you got to deal with Luka Doncic. You got to deal with your fans, who he's dealing with now, by the way.
Well, yeah.
And you know, then everybody's wondering, why are you doing this? And if he is considering doing this and putting it out there, Then all of a sudden, the reputation of the player is going to be tattered. It's in tatters maybe now a little bit. But I also think his trust with Rob Pelinka has got to go back to his Nike days when Pelinka was an agent and they were dealing with all of this and LeBron. So they probably have a really tight relationship where if he was going to go to him and say, look, I'm willing to do this if you're willing to do this, but I'm not going to do this with anybody else. Let's do it and let's get it over with. And it happened relatively quickly. So that is my sense, that there was a trust between the two GMs because of previous business dealings that they have had and the amount of money that has probably been made for both of them through decisions that they both have made. So I kind of understand. And by the way, it's not like Luka hasn't lost here. He has lost $100 million minimum due to the fact that he's not going to get a Supermax now. And I also think that maybe Nico Harrison said, you know what? If you could put him around LeBron, maybe, just maybe, LeBron can have a positive impact on this kid's career and save his career from spiraling out of control off the court.
Yeah, I just...
There could be some of that there, too.
Yeah, maybe. But I just think that he did a poor job of trading away a superstar player with inside information that he had about this guy. And part of the job is you got to make your assets as presentable and as valuable to another team as humanly possible.
Let me ask you this question.
And he didn't
do
that because he also got Rob Pelinka, who had agreed to a better deal, to basically agree to a lesser deal because Nico Harrison convinced him that he was taking on such a major risk with Luka Doncic.
I remember they had to get Utah involved, and Danny Ainge had no idea.
He didn't know the players.
He didn't know the players that were involved. I kind of understand where Dallas is coming from, and I just the more I read about it, the more maybe this saves Luka Doncic. Maybe this saves the next 6 or 7 years of his career. So, you know, he doesn't have to retire when he's 35 years old because he's not taking care of himself. But he is going to lose millions of dollars. That is obvious. But I still think that the fact that his off-the-court behavior, whether it be with the hookah bar or the beers that he were drinking and the weight problems and the fluctuations and the laziness on the court, you got to believe Nico went to the owners and said, hey, look, man, we either got to give this guy $345 million or we got to trade him. Yeah. That's basically the box that they got put in by the player himself.
Sure.
And you know what? And the player himself probably had no clue. Probably had no self-awareness of the way that they were looking at him. And I can imagine the player's agent, whoever that is, was probably knocking on Nico Harrison's door saying, when are we going to do this extension? When are we going to get this done? When are we going to get that done? I'm like, and I bet you Nico probably had conversations with the agent going, you know, your player is not who you think he is. He is not taking care of himself, and I'm not investing, you know, $345 million in a player that I don't know whether or not he's going to be here in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could probably agree on this in the end because I think both the points we were making from different sides of this, I agree that investing in that money, if you don't believe in the guy, regardless of how talented he is, when you're in the business of winning championships, is not a smart move. But he could have done a better job of getting more back and not pissing his fan base off so much.
You got the combine this week at Indy, so the Jaguars introduced their new GM. His name is James Gladstone.
And he's, 31?
34.
34, okay.
But he looks like he's 17.
Mm.
He has got a very young face. So here's how it started.
We're going to bring you a product that you all can be proud of. And we are so appreciative of your support. With that, game on.
And then you would get the crowd.
Oh, my God.
If
this works.
Oh, it gets better.
Now, does it?
Now, I want you to get out of radio boomer and get back into football boomer mode. And I present to you your new GM and his philosophies.
We will prioritize people and players that are intangibly rich. And by doing so, they will elevate our ecosystem, our team, by being nothing more than themselves.
Holy crap.
He was then asked if he's like cutting edge, if he's a cutting edge GM these days.
I have a fresh perspective, I'd say. A deep understanding of really the modern tools and mechanisms that are revolutionizing the sport.
He should run for president for the Democrats.
This guy sounds like a lot of con artist.
By the way, I'm just saying that, like, I hope he does well. Yeah, you want him to do well. It's just like Darren Muji over here. You want him to do well, too. But these guys, man, this is the first time that they're stepping up in front of a microphone, actually leading an organization.
Yeah.
And that's the troubling part. And maybe Shad Khan was impressed with him internally with the meetings. Maybe got a lot of feedback on a lot of people that have been around this young guy. And they've all said he's the next coming of the next genius of finding players. Maybe that's the case.
Yes, game on. He did add.
Holy crap.
The current mode of operation is in rhythm. The cadence is in place.
Oh, come on.
So my intent here through this initial spring is to really calibrate my own mode of operation to the current mode of operation, insert some specific efficiencies that will help me better understand perspectives. Game on.
Oh, my God.
Sissy football.
This is a little different than back in the day when I watch NFL
I mean,
films.
This sounds like Mickey Callaway all over
it
again.
It does. Yes, it does.
It's great. I mean, he speaks well. He's got a lot of words that describe, you know, maybe what's going on in the world today. But, you know, at the end of the day.
No, he doesn't. Calibrate my mode of operandi?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Holy crap. He's just got to pick the players. Just stay away from the players. Don't have a relationship with the players.
In fairness, we did have Mike Tannenbaum talking about the process to death.
Yes.
And they were relatively successful here. So, you know, all you got to do is pick the players. He's not the man. He's not the coach.
Yeah.
And then the coach sounds like more of a douche.
Duval. Yeah. Whoa. That was a little awkward. That is true. We heard yesterday that there was one specific team that wants the tush-push taken out of the game.
It sounds the Green Bay Packers.
So, right. So now we find out it's the Packers. I'm just saying, when a story came out
this like a month ago.
It might have been rumored, but the story yesterday was there's an unnamed team that wants it out. Then later in the day we saw, oh, it's the Packers. Okay, fine. Well, Sean McDermott also had some thoughts on the play yesterday.
To me, there's always been an injury risk with that play. And I've expressed that opinion for the last couple of years or so, when it really started to come into play the way it's being used.
And so who knows if anything happens with this? We shall see. I did see there. I mean, I can't understand this league. They're going to tweak the kickoff again. Did you see this? They want to move the yardage back with touchbacks and yeah. I mean, there are all sorts of different things they're looking into. I thought
just
they
get rid of it,
or you could just get rid of it. I actually got used to that thing last year. Believe it or not. Towards the end of the year, I actually kind of liked it.
The problem is that you can't onside kick.
Which stinks.
That, unless you tell the other team that you're onside kicking.
Right.
That so is therefore, issue. You can't start the game with it. You can't start the second half with it like Sean Payton did in the Super Bowl. You can't, you know, that part of it is out of it. I don't know. It's just the whole thing is strange, and it's all supposedly injury related. So I think they were pretty happy with the results in terms of injuries from this particular play. So they'll tweak it a little bit, but I think they're pretty happy that they're going to keep it.
And so we've had a lot of philosophical clips this morning. We heard Rick Pitino last hour talking to his guys about you got to deal with adversity in life. You heard James Gladstone's philosophy on football. Well, Bill Belichick is at North Carolina now, and here was Belichick on football philosophy.
You know, a good teammate is somebody that you can trust and count on every day. Somebody who's tough, smart, and dependable. That's what a good teammate is, whether it's in football or in life or in business or anything else.
He says they kind of mirror each other. It's not easy to do.
There are going to be ups and downs, and mental toughness is part of dealing with things when they aren't perfect.
And then, of course,
this is what I've been telling you dum-dums for the last 18 years. This is what we do. This is how we do it, and you deal with the adversity, the ups and the downs. We've had some really high moments, and we've had some really low moments, but we're still here. We're still winning.
We're still here, still winning.
Right.
There you go.
Every now and then, you know, we have to have conversations just to keep you guys on a straight and narrow, focused.
Yeah. Get the Rick Pitino speech going. Sometimes you got to give us that. You losers, wake up.
Haven't heard that since the softball field, to be fair. I did the one thing I can't get out of my mind. So it looks like Belichick's doing a podcast with North Carolina where these clips come from. And, you know, they roll the video of him at the press conference. He's got the suit. He looks good. He's all cleaned up. He looked like a mess in this video that they posted. All I can think of is his girlfriend. He's got to look at him like, you went out like that?
Yeah. You know, there was this video of them at the basketball game.
and she had like her jacket, you know, like really young girls like wear their jacket, like they'll have their shoulders exposed. Oh, sure. And then they'll like, and Bill Belichick's walking by and she's got like that, and then someone said it's really amazing that Bill Belichick is dating someone who wears their jacket like that.
Yeah.
Because that's what you see if you go to a high school football game.
She's young.
I mean, I know. It gets more and more bizarre by the day, but hell, you know, you're allowed to make these choices.
I suppose that is the case.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.